Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As you may have gathered by now, I am a great fan of movies and TV, the older the better, and for many reasons, but especially because they provide good quotes for every occasion. For example, this last Friday was, of course, the 4th of May, or May the 4th, so May the 4th be with you. Which we as Catholics, of course, respond, and with your spirit. And today is Revenge of the Sixth. So there you go. And with weddings, it's always the Princess Bride, especially when the couple picks as their second reading that wonderful reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, where we hear love is gentle, love is kind, doesn't put on airs, all that good stuff. And while everyone else is hearing the words of St. Paul, what comes into my head? But the words of the late, great Peter Cook in his role as, I kid you not, this is his actual title in the script, The Impressive Clergyman. And as they're hearing love, I'm hearing love, sweet love. And marriage is what brings us here today. And in fact, that often makes it into the homilies that I do when I do a wedding. In fact, I have been bribed to make that part of a wedding homily. And how am I bribed? With beer. Really good beer. Well, the impressive clergyman is very funny. But love is a very serious business. It is all the more serious because our world is quite confused about what love means. We use it in all sorts of different ways, one of which is as a warm fuzzy. I don't think that's what St. Paul is talking about, and that's not what our Lord is talking about. And God is most certainly not a warm fuzzy. We also speak of love as something that we fall into and fall out of, you know, some kind of emotional attraction. And that's certainly not what is being spoken of in sacred scripture. You know, if love were just an emotional attraction, people could not promise to love each other for the rest of their lives. Because as you who've been married for more than 5 minutes know, there are times when you're not too pleased with your spouse. There'll be times when you look over and think, prison is not that bad. But then you get over it. Because there are always times when we're going to fight with one another and not particularly like one another. But that doesn't mean we're not loving one another. Is love just a feeling? Well, to paraphrase the old song, it is more than a feeling. So we learn in the seminary through philosophy and theology, love is an act of the will. It is something we decide to do. And then we do loving things. Love is willing the good for the other, most especially without receiving anything back. That is the kind of love which God shows for us. There, I just defined love for you. Now you understand it perfectly, right? Well, even if you don't, that's okay. Because God does not just give us words about love. He gives us a perfect example of love in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who from the very beginning is love itself and shows us love. After all, what would you call the act of emptying yourself of your glory as God and becoming one like us in all things but sin, being born to a poor family in a stable in Bethlehem of Judea? That's an example of love, of willing the good of the other. Because why did Jesus do that? So eventually, so that he would suffer and die for us. Every act of our Lord while he lived among us was an act of love for us. But the greatest act was when he handed himself over willingly to evil men to suffer and die and to be raised from the dead. This is why we have crucifixes in our churches and in our homes, so that we can constantly be reminded of what love looks like and the kind of love which we are called to have for one another. So when we talk about love, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a warm fuzzy. We're talking about that profound act of love where Jesus poured out his life for us. And that's the kind of love that we're called to have, not just for God, but for one another. And that can be sometimes in a little way, you know, going without so that someone else can have something. Or it could be as profound as the French policeman a few months ago, who gave himself in exchange for a hostage who was being held by terrorists, knowing full well that this meant his death. We learned about this man later that he was a fervent practicing Catholic, and that no doubt influenced his decision to trade his life for someone he'd never met before. It's a good example for us. But it's an example which you learn from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what we are called to do when God says, love one another. And it is a commandment, not a suggestion. Jesus doesn't say, love one another if you feel like it. Love one another if you like the person. No, love one another. It's a commandment to be done even when we don't like the person. Even if we really don't like the person, even if we don't know the person, you're called to love one another. Why would we do this? So that we may remain in Christ. So that if you keep my commandments, you will remain in me and bear much fruit, fruit which will last. And so seeing that in relation to the gospel of last week where Jesus said he is the vine and we are the branches, that means when we love one another, when we keep that one of several of his commandments, we have to keep them all, we remain in Christ and we can bear the fruit of righteousness. That is how we attain everlasting life, to remain in Christ so that he may work with us. And we do that by, among other things, loving one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.